Patients with confidence recover. This is Instant Inspiration. Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California. Patients with confidence recover. Two doctors compared notes and found each gave the same ingredients to their cancer patients. And one had a 22% recovery rate, while the other had a 74% recovery rate. One doctor said, "We both give the same medicine, but I give them confidence in themselves and emphasize that they have a chance of recovering, hence the 74%. My goodness sakes, let's get the name of that doctor, huh? Yeah. Well, now, the solution is simple, isn't it? What's the solution?
Believe in yourself.
And how do you learn to believe in yourself?
Like me.
How you learn to like yourself? You learn to like yourself by telling yourself, "I like me." Now, when a little boy, little girl, goofs off in school, it used to be the teacher would say, "Okay, go up to the blackboard and write, 'I will behave, I will behave, I will behave. I'll be a good boy, I'll be a good girl.' And usually I won't do whatever it was I did, you know." And you write and you write and you write, and it helps your penmanship, and it helps many other things, and the teacher is doing other things while you're doing that. But you write then. Now, does that bear fruit? Oh my goodness, yes. Very much so, it bears fruit. When you say to a person, "All right, I want you to memorize the sonnets of Shakespeare." And the sonnets of Shakespeare are archaic. They are certainly not common language. They are things and phrases and concepts that are not always the best in the world, but they're poetic and they're masterpieces of writing. So, you learn that. And how many elderly persons have you ever met who were asked, "Did you ever learn to memorize anything as a child?" "Oh, yes. I had to learn all sorts of verses from the Bible." Remember that? "I'd learn all sorts of verses from the Bible." "Well, can you quote them now?" "My goodness, yes." And they quote them verbatim because they're in their consciousness. Now, here it is, let's say 50 years later, 60 years later. And they can tell you click, 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 click from what they learned when they were 10 years old. You know? Amazing. Beautiful. Wonderful. Now, what benefit is there in having that in your consciousness? What if the teacher had said, "All right, I want you to memorize these things and come tomorrow morning and repeat them. I am the master of my thought. I am the master of my thought. I live in a world that I create with my thought. My thought is what makes my world good or bad," etc. It can be more positive, but the thing is, no one would object to that, certainly. You know, none of the parents would object to that. None of the teachers would object to that. The principal wouldn't object to that. The church wouldn't object to that. The government wouldn't object to that. And what would happen to the kids? My goodness sakes, they would be little masters. Because they would have drilled into their subconscious mind, into their conscious mind and subconscious mind, these beautiful concepts of truth about themselves. But no, we have them memorized. When was the Constitution written? When was the Battle of 1742 held, you know? And things like that, you know. How long was the 30-Year War? You know, all these important things. Now, I could imagine if I asked any of you, and I have asked you, and you have come up wanting, and I've said to you, "What was the name of the city in which Switzerland formed its resolution to become a nation by itself?"
Italy.
What's the matter with you? What's the matter with you?
Not Swiss.
And what year was it?
1291.
1291, right now. And how many cantons formed the first nation of Switzerland.
Three. Uri Schwyz Unterwalden.
Now, mm-hmm. Now, isn't that interesting? Now, no. Don't point any fingers and say, you know, that's wonderful. Say, wouldn't it have been more wonderful if she were taught to say, I am the master of my life. I am in charge of all of my thoughts. Now, the school kids in Switzerland perhaps learned these things. Mm-hmm. We had to learn all the counties in Wisconsin where I lived. And we had to learn the capital of the states, of all the states of the United States. Fortunately, there weren't as many then as there are now. But you see, we had to learn all these things. Now, what benefit is that to us? Very little. When we can learn to do things that develop confidence in us, that make us believe in ourselves, that make us feel that we are really beautiful, worthwhile people, then we will be really beautiful, worthwhile people. Now, you are an ugly person, and you deserve to have the sickness that you have. Oh, you deserve to die. You deserve to have this evil in your life. And you say, Herb, what are you doing? I mean, this is totally contrary to what I believe you teach. I said, no, that's exactly what I teach. That's exactly what I teach. What do you believe about yourself? Do you believe that you're an evil person? Yes, you do. Do you believe that you have done things in your life for which you have never paid the penalty? That you have spoken words that were unkind to another person and perhaps even caused them to change their entire lifestyle? Or have you taken your big, big nose and stuck it in somebody's marriage and said, do you know what your husband's doing? Yeah, he's having a relationship with all the women on the street. Did you know that? Well, now, what's this woman going to do? She knew it. And then there was nothing much she could do about it from her point of view, so she just blocked it out of her mind. But now that somebody has come up and said it to her point blank, she can no longer block it out of her mind. She's got to face it. And so that means she's got to dump the guy. And she's got to get rid of him. And she doesn't want to get rid of him. Because he's really a nice guy. He's just going through that age, you know, of finding himself and figuring out who he is. And you see, now she has to change because you stuck your nose in there. Your slip is showing, you know. You got a problem. Yeah, I understand myself quite well. I don't need someone telling me. But you see, when we are confident in ourselves, we don't create any of these things in our life. If things come into our life, we immediately take charge and we say, all is in divine order. We immediately take charge and say, I am the master of my activities in my world. And then they cease to be powerful for us. What is powerful is, I am the master of my life. Now, when doctors can work with their patients and, all right, let's just say, are the doctors lying to the patients when they say to the patients, you have a chance of recovery?
No.
You have a chance of recovery? Isn't that a more powerful statement than, well, you got 3 weeks to live? I mean, in that 3 weeks, who knows what might happen to them? Their child might have another child, a grandchild, and the grandchild might say, Grandma, don't die. And Grandma says, I got something to live for, and I can't die. And with confidence, just washes away the negative experience that was facing her to kill her. Do you understand? It's so utterly simple, and yet so utterly ignored. And when we tell it to people, they say, this is too easy. But here, the doctors say, 74% of his patients recover, even though they give them both the same medicine, but I give them confidence in themselves and emphasize they have a chance of recovery, hence 74% recover. The other guy, he gives them the same medicine, and I'm sure he's a very fine doctor and a very fine man, but he says, now, you know, Cancer patients with your type of cancer don't really have too much of a chance. You might as well, you know, write your will and get your house in order and so on. The hell with it. I would like to see everybody go down without a will and live so much longer than they ever dreamed of living. But the minute you write your will, the minute you do those things, it seems as though you're saying, well, I'm ready to say goodbye, you know? I'm ready to say goodbye. Dodie, she filled out her donor's card here for her body to USC. And in the process, she thought perhaps she was going to die. Then, what did she do? She went through some horrendous fire experience that would have killed a lesser person. And she just came through it like an angel. And her skin was grafted here and there, and she just looks gorgeous. She looks gorgeous, and she's 86 now. And she's doing super. But if the doctors had said to her, no way, she wouldn't have even tried to get well. But they said to her, boy, do you have stamina. Boy, have you got power inside of you. You have the ability to do things that so many people give up on. You know, you're wonderful. You're wonderful. You're wonderful. And then they would wheel the old folks into her room so that she could smile on them and say, hey, you're coming along great. You know, you look wonderful. And she's been doing that ever since. Here she is, 86 years old, lives on a second story of a house. She goes out in her Jeep every day and drives like a maniac, and she delivers sweet rolls, day-old sweet rolls and bread to the elderly. And she is a glorious woman. But the thing is, she's not giving up. When she dies, she'll die. She'll just die because she says, okay, I've done my show. Curtain call. Oh, you got to come back again. But no, you see, this is what it's all about. Are we going to be the 74% that the doctor said he gave them a chance of recovery? Or are we going to be the 22%? Well, that's still good.
if you're in the percent.
But well, what about the other, you know, like the 26%? Are you going to be the 26% that didn't make it because you didn't have confidence in yourself? Well, I should say not. Now, we all want to know what the name of that doctor is with the 74%, but let's not even need him or her. Let's not even need their services for cancer in our body. Let's not even need that. Let's know that we are whole and perfect and dynamic and vital and wonderful and filled with power and life and joy and peace and harmony. And go for it. Go for it. But as you can readily see, we are starting a little late, but that doesn't make any difference. Once we put the cause in motion, effectively, efficiently, and finally for ourselves, all that's unlike that cause fades away, and we do live in our eternally perfect ideal spirit, mind, and body, and we live in it now. There's only that time now, and we're not asking anything of anybody else. We're just being our own dynamic, forceful, fabulous self, and that's what matters, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. That's what matters. So don't worry about what other people say about you. Don't worry about what other people think. Don't worry about the stories other people tell about you. If you knew what other people told about you, you'd cover your head. But, yeah, and you know what they would say about you?
Glorious being.
No. You know what they'd say about you? Mm-hmm. She's not even living up to half of her potential. And you'd say, what? I'm not living up to half my potential? Well, let's check it out. Let's start living up to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And somebody says to you, Miss Ingeborg, last week you were a workhorse out there just having a ball. You're slowing down. What seems to be the problem? You know, you got energy galore inside of you. You got, you know, all you have to do is just pump it up and live it up and enjoy it. What are you going to do?
Take my door.
Oh, she's shaking her head there and chewing her cud, and she's got food in her mouth, and she doesn't say what I want her to say. And so therefore, tomorrow she dies. No, really. If you don't play the game, you die tomorrow. I'm whole and perfect, right?
Of course.
Don't say of course. Say I'm whole and perfect.
I'm whole and perfect.
Well, God help you. My gosh, it sounds like you're crying.
No.
Well, say it again with laughter and joy in your voice.
I'm whole and perfect.
All right. Now, when are you going to die?
To die? Never.
All right, fine. Now, how are you going to live?
Always. Eternally.
Whole and perfect. You're going, how long are you going to live? Eternally, and that sort of stuff. But how are you going to live in your eternally perfect ideal spirit, mind, and body?
Yes.
Now, every minute of your day, say that. Because then, you know what's going to happen? That white skin of yours is going to turn brown. And your heart and lungs and liver and all the good stuff inside you is going to say, hey, we got new leaves on life. We got to perk up a little bit here. Get a little snap going in here. And be careful. You have a tendency to hurt yourself. And I will tell you what that is. You want to eat to walk away your problems. Don't do that. Eat good, but don't overeat. You have a tendency to want to nibble and eat more. And it doesn't show on your body. But what it does do, it shortens your life. So eat whatever is necessary to make you feel comfortable, and then stop. Because it's so tempting for us to say, look at this bowl of nuts. I just have a bowl, and there's some stuff left in this here of chicken. And then there's some veggies left in here. We got to eat them because I got to throw them away otherwise. Throw them away. Throw them away. Because if you've had enough to eat, great. Make them for another meal, fine. But don't eat them. I'm not telling you not to eat to be comfortably full. But I'm saying don't eat just because it's sitting there. And that's what we do so often. Mm-hmm. We eat because it's sitting there, and then we were full. We're just too full. Now, if you feel like a snack, go have a snack. But don't eat because you have to eat or because it's there. Let everything be planned. Now, I think it's important for you to have 35 snacks a day. No meals, 35 snacks. And, you know, if you did, you would feel so fabulous. And by snacks, I mean just snacks. I don't mean full course snacks. But think of these things. Think of these things. The doctor said, with confidence in themselves, they had the chance for recovery, they recovered. With confidence in ourselves, that I am God, I'm the creator of my world, I like me, I like me, I like me. And all of the other good statements that we use, we have it made. So, go forth and sin no more.
All right.
Say the truth at all times, and please, I'm here to be a pain in the neck to you, to encourage you to play the game. So play the stupid game. When the teacher says, write on the board, I will be a good boy, I will be a good girl, I will do this, don't write that at all.
I am.
I am a good boy. I am a good girl. Now, what's the teacher going to say when she sees that?
It's okay.
No, no. She'll say, you didn't follow the rules. You're supposed to write, I will. And so, for the teacher, you write, I will, because you always play the game. But in your heart, you know you am. And that's what really counts. You see, the world's going to come up to you and say, my God, you old so-and-so, here you are 95 years old, and you know, you don't have too many years to live, and you don't hear a word of it. You say to them, isn't it wonderful? Every year of my life brings new and precious experiences, and I have no idea what the new and precious experiences that are going to come up in the next 100 years. You're going to live another 100 years? Well, I'm going to live as long as I'm going to live. And another 100 years sounds good to me, you know? Now, science will say, you just don't do that. There's nobody around having done that. Well, perhaps, just perhaps, you might turn the corner from being human and be divine and be a master and be here enjoying this life experience, and nobody even knows how old you are, how young you are. They never ask the question. And what did Donald Simoda do when Richard Bach said, well, I suppose if they ask you for your dual engine license, what did he say? He says, you mean like this one here, Donald? I mean, Richard? And he manifested it right there. And why is it that his airplane had no bugs on it? All in his thought.
Consciousness.
Donald flew his plane, and they were filled with bugs like every normal human being. But you see, Simoda was not a normal human being. He believed in himself. And he had no bugs in his plane. Interesting, huh? Okay. Two doctors compared notes and found that each gave the same ingredients to their cancer patients, and one had a 22% recovery rate while the other had a 74% recovery rate. The one doctor said, we both give the same medicine, but I give them confidence in themselves and emphasize that they have a chance of recovery, hence a 74% recovery. Patients with confidence recover. Have a wonderful day, and know I love you very much, and I see each of you whole and perfect right now, expressing these positive attitudes for a rich, long, and delightful life. I love you. I love you. I love you.
Thank you.